हरिः ॐ सहनवावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहैः ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे ओके सो Tattva Sutras, Chapter 1, Tattva Prakarana, the Truth, page 130. In Srimad Bhagavatam 10.29.1, it is said, Sri Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, full of all opulences. Yet, upon seeing those autumn nights scented with blooming jasmine flowers, he turned his mind towards loving affairs. To fulfill his purpose, he employed his internal potencies. Okay, so this sutra is...
The play of the material creation, the play of love.
Okay. Although he is transcendental, the playful Lord creates the material universe filled with conscious beings and inert matter. Okay. So in other words, he's using his energies. He's in control of them. He's not controlled by the material energies. In Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita has said, the holy name of Lord Krishna is the sweetest of the sweet and the most auspicious. It is the ripened fruit of the vine of all the Vedas. It is conscious and spiritual. O best of the Bhrigu dynasty, chanted only once, either with faith or even with contempt and mockery, the holy name of the Lord delivers the chanter. Right? So we have some hope. Sri right? Sukadev Goswami, Srila Sukadev Goswami tells Maharaj Parikit, Srimad Bhagavatam 12.3.14, O mighty Parikit, I have related to you the narrations of all these great kings, who spread their fame throughout the world and then departed. My real purpose was to teach transcendental knowledge and renunciation. Stories of kings lend power and opulence to these narrations, but do not in themselves constitute the ultimate aspect of knowledge. Yeah. So this is then, you know, near the end of his discussions with Parikit Maharaj. So he's pointing out is that when you talk about the kings and all that, then like it says, lends power and opulence to these narrations. So then someone would be, you know, more, tend to pay attention, be more impressed like that. It'll have a better impression because the point is you're trying to make an impression so that the individual then makes choices based on those impressions, right? They want those impressions to be... You want them to be the cause of moving forward positively, right, in God consciousness. And so when you hear the great kings and all these things, then they'll naturally be more inspiring. One is because Parikit Maharaj is a king, so then he can see his other kings have moved forward nicely in the spiritual understanding. Right, so then that's going to be good. Then the other thing that will be there is just for anybody else listening. You know, such great personalities are doing and all that, then they can also do. But it's not in the ultimate aspect of knowledge. The ultimate aspect is pure bhakti. That's the thing that's actually being discussed. So the topic is the pure devotional service to Krishna, how he's the Supreme Lord, how he's the ultimate goal. And then how all these other things can be seen in the context of the Lord. So various situations in which devotees, you know, in whatever their position have surrendered to the Lord, and in that way they perfected their lives. So that's the whole idea. That's the whole point.
Yeah. So Maharaj, So actually for devotees, the primary thing is always pure bhakti.
Yes.
And the second thing can be the stories.
Yes, it's the medium that you give it through, because stories are very effective.
Yes.
Because, see, is that knowledge has to be practically applied. Mm-hmm. And so a story, then has, I mean, it should have within it the practical application of the point that you're talking about.
Yes.
Right? So it illustrates.
Yes.
You know, it's like, here's the knowledge, here's people who've done it.
Yes.
And whatever you're saying is will happen. Yes. Good or bad, that's what is going on. And so it's illustrated. So that's the whole idea, is that the third point of presentation is this illustration. Right? You're making the point you want to make.
Yes.
You know, the thesis. Then you're giving your reasons behind that. Then you're giving the illustrations. So any stories, examples, various logical presentations and all those things. And then you're going to yeah, so that's always going to be how it's going to move. So then so that's the whole idea, is that in discussing with someone or preaching to someone, is to find those stories and examples and tone of voice or vocabulary, you know, the various examples that the person you're talking to will be able to relate, right? And make it relevant in their life, right? So that's the whole point. How it's practical in their life, therefore accepting that, you know, removing doubts of the value, now they'll try to apply it in their life. That's manana. Manana means that now they're free from doubt, so then they apply it now in their own life. So that's what you're trying to do. You know, so this idea is that, okay, one group of people, you want to be very careful on words and all that, but that's one group, it's not all the groups. So you can't say that, you know, soft preaching, which is for a very specific group, that's the one for everybody. You know, just like hard preaching, that works on one group. It doesn't work on everybody. So the actual principle of preaching means you have to find, according to your audience, what works for them. Right? What examples, what words, what approach to use. And then that's what you do. Like you see, Srila Prabhupada was discussing with, I think, maybe Stirling Moss or something. One of the, you know, big, you know, the great British, how you say, you know, race car drivers. And so then in that, first they just discussed about a particular British car. You know, I think it was an Austin or something like that. Very, you know, practical, good, nice, well-liked car. You know, I think Prabhupada had one, and that person would have known, because generally they drive practical cars, comfortable cars. Means those who race cars, generally what they drive around, they don't drive around high-end cars. They drive very practical, family, you know, something that's safe and nice. And they drive very safely. Right? So they were discussing about this car, you know, so there'd be common ground. Like that. And then Prabhupada asked about, you know, in his racing. You know, and then when you, you know, during the racing, you're going fast, and there's the turners, do you ever feel fear?
Yes.
Right? And then from that point of, and he said yes, and so then from that point of fear, then he went into God consciousness. That's preaching. Right? So that's the whole thing, is to find that. You know, so just to say that, oh no, we don't say this, or, you know, or no, we're right there in their face. That's the individual who's speaking, that may reflect their own mentality, which is fine. But the point is you have to be able to connect with the person you're talking to. You know? So that's why then different devotees will specialize in different areas of preaching, because it's easier for them with their mentality to connect with others in a similar mentality. You know? A particular range. You know, everyone has a range that they can work in. And so then that becomes there. But to say that one is the ultimate, no, that's not. Preaching just means that you're connecting with, you're making the teachings of Krishna and the Acharyas relevant for the person you're talking to. Right? That's the position. It means the Acharyas have already established the truth. We have to speak the truth. Why would we change that? Krishna said it. We have to say it. You can say, oh no, but nobody will accept it. But that's our duty. Prabhupada points that out, is that you know, it's that this is our duty, so we make it clear. Like that. Now you have to try to make that. So it is relevant for the person. You may say the person doesn't like that, but most people don't like anything. You know, what do they like? You know? Do they like to go to work? Do they like to pay the bills? Do they like to pay their taxes? Do they like to fill up their car with petrol? Do they like to change the oil? Do they like to, you know, find a parking place? No, they don't like to do any of that. So most of their day they're doing stuff they don't like. So this idea is, oh, we can't say it, they won't like it. It's kind of like all they do is things they don't like. But then you have to make it that it's valuable. It's important, right? I mean, because they pay their taxes, then the road that they drive on doesn't have potholes. You know, they put petrol, they can actually get to where they want to go. They'd rather not put the petrol and be able to drive their car wherever they like. But, you know, they want to get to where they want, so they put the petrol. So if you want to solve the problems of material life, then this is what you have to do. So this idea is, no, we have to please everybody. Then we take on that thing of suridam sarva bhutanam, that I'm the friend of everybody. Oh, I'm nice to everybody. I don't disturb any. No, it's just nice. But if it's an identity, then how is it service to Krishna? We're servants of Krishna, not the friend of everyone. Krishna is the friend. He's the one sitting in their heart. So he's telling, they're not listening, so now you tell. Then you're a friend of Krishna. So that's the point. You want to be friend of Krishna or friend of the materialists? You know, what's the identity? And then accordingly, then you establish. So that's the whole thing is they're pointing out here is these stories of kings, they lend power and opulence, but do not in themselves constitute the ultimate aspect. The ultimate aspect is pure devotional service. That's it. There is nothing else being discussed. Yes. You don't know? Okay. In the Gopal Tapani Upanishad 295, it is said, whether visible or invisible in this world, my form always stays in my abode. Right, so if he's come here and he's visible here, he's still in his abode. He's not visible here, he's still in his abode. My form always stays in my abode. My form is also present as the deity of ignorance, the deity of passion, and the deity of goodness. My human-like form, which is eternal and full of transcendental knowledge and bliss, is present when my devotees serve me with devotion. Right, so it's two-handed form of Govinda, is that you serve with devotion, then you will appreciate this form. Otherwise, you won't. You know, because as God and this and that, you know, it's just like if he shows up with four arms, or like Indra's sacrifice, he's doing a big sacrifice, Krishna shows up with eight arms. You know, then they'll think, oh, he normally has two hands, now he has eight, okay, he must be very pleased, yes, he was doing such a big sacrifice. And so then he reciprocates like that. But the two-armed form, that's devotion is there, then that's all. In the next sutra, the author refutes the idea that the transcendental potency is different from the Lord himself. Because otherwise, okay, the potency is different completely. And so then it's a matter of, is it, you know, his control, our control, he controls some part, we control some parts. You know, like the deists, then, you know, God is there, he created the world, and now he's given it to us, and now we control it. You know, so he was that, you know, the ultimate controller, but we're the ones, the immediate controllers, you know. What is it? The efficient cause, the material cause. You know, he may be the efficient, but we're the material. You know, so these kind of things is to no, it's all his, right? Sutra 7. If someone claims the Lord is different from his potency, then I reply, no, it is not so, for they are not different. But, yeah. Footnote 10. In Anucheta 50, Srila Jiva Goswami gives the following explanation in relation to this sutra. The word swarat means ultimately the Sarup Shakti, which is operating by itself. Svena Sva. Svena from Sva. Since the Jiva is conscious and the hands, feet, and other senses are unconscious, the Jiva's senses are Shaktis different from Jiva and dependent on Jiva. The jiva, because he is attached to the senses, is called sa-karana. You, the antayami, because you are not attached to the senses and are not dependent upon them, are called akarana. Since you preside, rajasay, rat, by your sup-shakti, sva, even at the time of final devastation of final devastation, the Lord's senses remain. Because when the devastation is there, our senses don't remain anymore. Nothing remains. We remain as the soul, but everything else is gone. Right? You know, so the perfection of the Buddhists, you know, like that. Yeah. We Shrutis, who generally see you as all-pervading, will achieve the same nectar from your lotus feet that your consorts are able to relish because of their loving attraction to your mighty serpentine arms. For you look upon us and your consorts in the same way. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.87.23. The learned Shrutis describe his various spiritual senses, including his arms which support them, but also describe the Lord as akarana, without senses, since he does not have senses like the jiva. Why? He exists by his sarup, which manifests his senses through his sarup shakti, swara. They cannot be called senses like those of the jiva, since they arise from the sarup. Like for us, it'll be his form is the cause of all the shaktis, right? So then his senses, everything he does is coming from his own form. And so then everything is there. And whether he creates or annihilates, those senses remain. But with the jiva, then they're made for him. He uses them. And then they're wound up. So he's not independent. Commentary by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. If someone claims that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the creator of the worlds, is different from his potency, then this sutra is spoken to refute him. Because the Supreme Personality of Godhead is not different from his many potencies, the potencies are not different from him. This is described in the following words of the Nyaya Shastra. Quote, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the master of all potencies, is not different from his potencies. In the Svetasatara Upanishad 6.8 it is said, the Lord's potencies of knowledge, power, and action share his own nature. They are not different from him. In the Vishnu Purana 1.22.53 it is said, just as the illumination of a fire, which is situated in one place, is spread over. It's probably should be all over. We need an all there. It's spread all over, yeah. The energies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Parabrahman, are spread all over the universe. In the Markandeya Purana, Devi Mahatmya, the sage explains, O king, now I will describe to you the glories of the goddess. By her power, she sustains the entire world. She is the potency of Lord Vishnu. From her comes transcendental knowledge. You and many others have attained transcendental knowledge by her grace. In the Narada Pancharatra, second night, third chapter, Lord Shiva explains, the Supreme Lord is one, still he is manifested in two forms. One form is female, the potency of the Lord Vishnu. The other form is male. The all-powerful Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, his form is dark. All his desires are at once fulfilled. He has all transcendental virtues. He is free of the modes of material nature. Anyone who directly sees him will fall in love with him and yearn to enjoy charming pastimes with him. Yeah, so they're non-different. He's one, but there's two forms. Like that. Here, someone may protest. Is it not so that by creating the material worlds and performing other activities, the Supreme Personality of Godhead becomes affected by that activity, and its nature becomes different from what it was before? Right? In other words, he transforms, because that's one of the main points, is Brahman doesn't transform. Does he not become enamored of what he has created? Right? You know, because, in other words, they're simply projecting the same qualities that we have on the Supreme Lord. At the same time as they want to say, I am God. They want to bring God to our level and then say, see, I am God. But the point is if they bring him to our level, then he's fallible. And then what's the point of being God? If God's not such a big thing, oh yeah, he's just the material mode of goodness, this, that, and so many things like that, then what's the whole big deal about being God? Because they're so intent on being God. But if God's not such a big deal, then why are they making such? If it's illusory, then why are they making such a thing? You know, calling yourself Narayana, then the point is that's illusion. So you're saying, I am illusion. Okay, so big deal. Whoopee. You know, and everything is Brahman. So that means you are God and that rock over there is God. So you're no different than that rock. You know, and I have a basket full of coconuts. They need cracking, and so come sit down over here. You know, we need your head. Right? No? Yeah. In the next sutra, the author refutes this misconception, Sutra 8. Because he is supremely independent, he does not become changed, even though he is the creator. Footnote 11. In relation to this sutra, Srila Jiva Goswami states in Anucheda 61 the following. In you there is no transformation consisting of birth, existence after birth, growth, transformation, decline, and death. You are the cause, Adya, Ekosi Pratamam. You are one, the first, Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.18. Therefore you have no birth. Pratyaksha Tvam, Harer Janma Na Vikara Katanchana. The Lord has no birth seen by material eyes and no transformations. Padma Purana. The cause of his being first is stated. He has a form of a human, Purusha, and that form, though old, is new. It exists before effects or transformation began. Atmai Vedam Agra Asi Purusha Vidaha. The Lord existed previously in the form of a man. Aitreya Upanishad 111. Thus, existence, yeah, the Lord existed previous in the form of a man. So it's already pointing out there, but you know, the impersonalists will just leave that. They'll give some other interpretation. That's what I like to do. Something agrees with them, see, just like it says right here. But what happened to the indirect? No, the indirect means it's, you say Brahman, but it actually means it's Bhagavan. And then when it says direct, no, you have to understand it in this indirect way. So you see, it's just about their philosophy.
Mark, can we say it's according to the sanskar that we have, we can understand?
Yes. Means we want to be God, then that's cheating because we're not. And so then we're going to someone who tell us we are God. Right? Prabhupada says cheaters and cheaters, so people want to be God. And then there's some rascal, you know, they're rascals, and then there's some rascal who says, yes, come, I'll show you God.
Yes.
You know?
Okay.
Yeah, and then they go and, you know, and they get cheated.
So the only way to change the samskara is to be in contact with devotee.
That's it. There is no other way.
No,
there's nothing. It means the process is we're chanting Hare Krishna.
Yes,
but
yes.
Unless you receive that from devotees and cultivate it in the association of devotees, you won't get the benefit, even though it's a process.
Yes. So if we leave the association of devotee, we come back again to the samskara.
Yeah, then it's a punar musika bhava.
Yes.
Again become that. You know, you see that. Someone's on a very developed level, very sophisticated level as a devotee in that, and then sometimes there's the thought, well, yeah, I can, you know, no one values me, I can go out in the material world, you know, they'll value. But as soon as you go out, you go back to what you were before. So if you were sophisticated before, that'll remain. But if you weren't so sophisticated, you'll go back to what you were. But that's just the way it is. You know? Because if you're dealing with the transcendental, then Krishna can do whatever he wants through whoever he wants. But if you're working on the material platform, then it's only just what you have and what you deserve. That's what you get. You know, Krishna's taking care of everybody. And because someone was a devotee, he'll always take care. But he'll also take care to see that false ego that they have doesn't remain. Does that make sense? Okay, commentary by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Oh no, did we finish this? No, okay. Okay, his form is eternal, Nityaha. Though he has a medium-sized form, he is perfect and complete, Purnaha. That's growth is refuted, right? He doesn't have too big a form. It's a nice form. It's just like Bhima has a big form. You know, and everybody appreciates Bhima. But who's the most kind of like dear one? Right? Arjuna. He has a middle-sized form. Thus, growth is refuted. You have an eternal form of happiness. Ajasra sukaha. Thus, transformation is denied, since the Lord is eternal. Right? Because in transformation, that's where the misery comes. Right? Because they're saying, you know, there's transformation, the creation, so he's been involved, therefore, then how won't he be, you know, affected by that? But no, he's unaffected. Right? Because he's eternal. So because he's eternal, there's no transformation. And so they're interested in eternity, but they can't understand how he can be who he is, and his energies can transform.
Yes, yes.
Like that. And therefore there's creation. Because that's the, you know, the Sat element, the Sandini element, is that you're dealing with the existence of everything. So he can expand the existence of everything. You understand? So that's the difference. So the existence of it is Sandini. But that it's doing something. Like when we say we created something, we're talking about its function. Right? Because we don't really care about the technical details. Like, I don't know if you've ever seen, sometimes they do like a, is it called a montage? Where they let's say they're building a huge building or complex or something. And they take a picture every day from the same place. You know? And then they, you know, run that at very fast speed and you can just watch the place being built right before your eye. Now, engineers love this, but most people, oh, it's nice, and that's it. They want the place as it runs. So that's the difference between the creation, you know, that's running, and the creation that exists. So the creation that exists is junior to, is subservient to the creation that functions, and that's subservient to the creation that gives experience. The experience of that. Does that make sense? Because the whole point is when you have a desire, it's for an experience. Right? Then there's going to be an activity that gets that experience. Then there's the situation. Just like, let's say, you want the experience of a particular taste. You know? Hungry? You know, it's like, say, more like peckish. So then you want a little bit of something to eat. Right? So that depends upon eating. So you have to go through the process of actually taking things, putting in your mouth, chew them up, and all that kind of stuff. But that then has the aspect that you have to prepare what you want to eat, or at least go and get it out of the refrigerator. You know, so the that position is that you can look at it that, okay, I taste, that's dependent upon eating, that's dependent upon having the element. So situationally, then who's senior, right? It's the creation of it. Then there's the application of it, and the junior one's the taste. But why does the whole process take place? Because of the taste. It's the opposite way. So that's why you see Lord Chaitanya is the supreme, then Lord Nityananda, you know, as the expansion, and then Advaitacharya as his incarnation. In tattva, that's the way it is. But in, you see, social interaction, Lord Nityananda is senior to Lord Chaitanya, and Advaitacharya is senior to them both. You understand? So that's how it works. Like Purnamasi, she's the senior. Right? Radharani is the junior. Who's superior to her? Then Lalita. But it's all happening because of Radharani. It goes the other way. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And so, like that, is that it has to be appreciated that the creation of things, it's a situational. So, you know, that doesn't imply that one is implicated. That he is eternal, that means he doesn't transform. That's why we say the material energy is illusory, because it transforms. But it's eternal in that it exists. and the potencies are there, but the transformations don't last. You understand? So in the spiritual world, then you have the internal potency, then doing all this, the transformation that's there. But it will be the Sandini that'll be creating the situations. That you have a Kunja, you have Jamuna, or you have the fields, or you're in Nandagaon, or like this. That's all going to be the situations created by the Sandini potency. Then Samvet will operate. You have all the devotees there. They're going to be doing different activities that are all about pleasing Krishna. Then Ladini will be the taste Krishna gets from that service that the devotees are rendering. Does that make sense? So these three features are always there. You have to see them. So much of the time we see is because we get in there and work, you know, then we get involved, we get attached. But the point is it's always been Krishna. It's not something new. Right? For us, we're attaining some raw materials and doing something with it. So they're different from us. So we get enamored. But from Krishna, they're non-different than Him. Right? They're non-different. So there's no question of Him being transformed, Him being enamored. Right? You know, because we're not the doer, then if something works, we think, wow, check that out. Sitting there. This.
Sometimes we are used to the other system, that we transform, we suffer by transformation.
Yes, that's the whole point.
And it's difficult to understand that another transformation that bring happiness or is coming down.
Yes, so that's the whole point, is that all these philosophies, the six schools of philosophy, other than Vaishnava Vedanta, they're all based on the human,
yes,
you know, experience.
Yes.
They're not based on transcendence. Yes. They use logic, and because of that, now it becomes philosophy.
Yes. Yes.
No, it's philosophy because it's philosophy.
Yes.
Right? So that's the thing, is that they don't know what reality is.
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
And so they get some ideas from the scriptures, and then they interpret as they please.
Yes, yes.
You know? You know, it's just like, yeah. So we have to be very, very careful of those kind of things, is that we project our own, you know? Just like we're saying, oh, you're projecting, you know, the anthropomorphic that God's a person because you're a person. But the point is you're projecting your own desires. You want to be God, so there can't already be a God. Does that make sense? You know.
There is no perfect presentation from Parampara, we just play with words.
We just play with words. That's the whole. That's why Prabhupada says armchair speculators, because they're just playing with words. They never do anything with that. They write books, they make theses, they do all kinds of things, they teach questions. But it has nothing to do with being practically applied. You know, they don't apply it in their life. You know, it's like, always that cliche is that you have all these, you know, the root of so many of this is all these, you know, French philosophers and existentialists, that they're sitting in a cafe in Paris, you know, drinking their coffee and philosophizing about the universe and how it is like that. But they're in Paris. Why don't you go out in the country, you know, in Provence, you know what I'm saying? They're not out there, you know. They may be wearing some, lavender fragrance from out there, but they're not about to go out there. Who's going to go out there? You know, that's for peasants, you know. You know, so it's like, you know, how are they applying this in their life? You know, the only one that was a little bit practical, but that was even only because he was insulted, was what Descartes, you know, that he's a gross materialist, a hedonist. And so he made a philosophy and he practically applies it in his own life. So he just made it to explain his life. So it's reverse. It's not that it's something that he restricts his life. It's a philosophy that shows that I don't have to do any restriction at all. So that's the point, is human life is how you regulate your life to bring it close to Krishna. Mm-hmm. Because Krishna is regulating everything. And so you want to bring your life in line with Krishna's regulation. But this idea is that, no, we're not from this kind of background or culture, you know, like that, and so we don't have to follow this. Or no, we're not fanatic, you know, we just chant. So if you just chant, sit down and chant, why are you going to work? You know, why are you taking the kids to the dentist? Just chant. You know? So the whole point is they'll regulate their life how they feel fit. You know? And so this is just anamoy pranamoy. It's just passion and ignorance. They're not regulating according to what Krishna says, what Shastra says. And so that becomes a very difficult thing. You know? But even then, even amongst those who do regulate according to Shastra, they still perceive it according to their own nature. So if you're in the material world, the same mistake of projecting your own needs onto the Supreme, you're going to do whether you're pious or impious. You know, whether you follow the Veda or not. And why would we do that? Because we're Satchitananda. And so it's easy to project that onto God. But just the problem is we project our minuteness onto God. Yes. You know, it's like he's like us and we're like him. Yes. Right? He's nothing special, because if you say God is this, that, no, you know, like everyone's God. So they want to bring it down. But then that they're God, why be God? If God's so ordinary, why do you want to be God? Oh, because then, you know. So you see, it's biased. It's not a logical presentation. Technically speaking, that's superstition. Right? But, you know, what to do? Popular. Shuka in the masculine is poetic license. Elsewhere it is seen in the neuter as Vijnanam Anandam Brahma. Brahma is knowledge and bliss. Brihad Aranyaka Upanishad 3928. You are without decay, Aksharaha. This indicates he does not decrease in any way. Right? So it's not that when he expands, he's less. Because when we expand, we're less. But he expands, it's the same. He is without death, Amrita. Thus all six transformations are denied in the Lord. Right? So that was, okay. He is without death, Amrita. Right? So there's no death. He's without decay, Akshara. Right? Then, what was the one before? Decay. Okay, then elsewhere is the neuter, Brahma's knowledge and bliss. This thus transformation is denied, since the Lord is eternal. Right? And so then the transformation, how you say, he is perfect and complete, Purna, there's no need of growth, and his form is eternal, so there's no birth. So there's no transformation in the Lord. So no birth, Nitya, like that. He is complete, Purna, so no growth. He has eternal form of happiness. Okay, thus transformation is denied, since the Lord is eternal. Right? Like that. Okay. Then, Sukha, okay, where it's seen in neuter, Brahma's knowledge, and he is without decay, Akshara, and without death, Amrita. So all the six transformations are not there. Right? So therefore the Satchit Ananda, you know, and he's Purna, right? He's Amrita, all these different things. Yeah? Yeah, okay. Commentary by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Here the protester declares, whoever creates the material world must of necessity become affected by passionate attachment, hatred, and other like emotions. Because that's what happens to us. That's why those who are interested in liberation, they give up engaging in anything that can cause attachment, hatred, and other emotions. Mm-hmm. Right? They can't give up all activities, so it'll be there, but it's reduced to a great degree that it can be workable. Yes. But it doesn't necessarily mean it is, but it can be. To this protest, the reply is that because he is supreme independent, he is supremely independent, and can do whatever he wishes to do, or he is the supreme independent, whatever. And by his own will, the Lord remains peaceful and aloof from material passions. Right? He is independent. He can do whatever he wants. So he's not restricted. Why do we become passionate and all this? Because we have to put in that effort to get it done. But for the Lord, just by his will, it happens. His energy is carried out. There's no hatred because there can't be anybody else who has it and can't be anybody else who takes it away. Right? And so all these different things that are attached to it because now he has it. He works so hard. But it's just him, so he can manifest unmanifest. He's said like the spider. Spider manifests the web and winds it up. We don't see the spiders leave it there. And you know, the spider's just hanging out there and everything like that. And somebody asks, well, what's the spider doing? Oh, God. Well, it's time to wind up its nest and the web and go over here next to the window because the season's changed and the bugs are different. But he's so attached to the nest because he created it, so he's in a dilemma. You know, don't worry, it'll take him a couple of days. But when he gets hungry enough, he'll wind it up and then go over there. No. That's the whole thing, is that because he's complete, he produced, and everything's coming from him, everything's non-different from him. Therefore, why would these things be there? They're with us because they're separate from us. We're dependent upon them for our identity. You know, I am, let's say, an intellectual, or a teacher, or a lawyer, or a doctor. So I'm dependent upon those things for my status, who I am, how I move in society and all that. But Krishna's not. You accept him as God or not, it doesn't matter. Like if I don't accept you as an intellectual, it's very hard for you to express yourself and have your position. You know? Like that, you know? Or if I'm a businessman, then you're dependent upon the business and the profit to then say, yeah, this is me. But Krishna, he's not, it's all him. It just expands from him as he pleases. So there's no need of attachment because it's him. We're attached because it's separate. I put in, there's a situation that I didn't create. I may have worked to get myself in the situation, right? And then I perform the activity that seems to get the result. But the point is I didn't produce, I didn't create the system that it works. Like business. Who created business? No one, Krishna. I work within business, but the concept of business is already created. Where business can take place, that's already been established also. Right? You know, it's just like, let's just say, you do business on the ground. Right? You want to sell something, you set up your basket on the ground. You don't sit on the ceiling. Why not? You know, I mean, definitely catch attention. All the other, you know, guys selling the oranges are all sitting with their basket on that, and you're sitting up there. You know, so, hey, you know, check this guy out. Now, where's the main problem come? Is now, let's say he says, okay, I'll take a kilo of oranges. Okay, you can weigh out your oranges and you can drop the oranges down to them. How does the money get up to you? Therefore, no one does business on the ceiling. You know, because what they'll do is they'll say, you know, okay, you know, like that, you know, I can't get you the money, but I'll leave it with this guy and you can get it from him. You know, and then he'll take a cut. So, you know, no businessman can tolerate that. So he sits down there with everybody else. That's how it works. So that's the whole thing, is that the situations that are cause of business, what is profit, you know, that you do that and it is a source of happiness. And who is it a source of happiness for? For business people. You know, and so that's all created by Krishna. It's outside of us, therefore we enjoy and suffer. But when we connect it to Krishna, since it's from Krishna, we also don't suffer. Like that. Because we're not trying to deal with it separately from Krishna. It's an illusion, but he's never an illusion. So therefore he doesn't suffer. We suffer because we're an illusion. They're taking it, oh, because I'm doing these things. No, it's because you keep it separate from the Lord. That's why. So they're in that position. They only know that position. Therefore, they think, then he must be like us. Because I'm trying to become God. And so he has to be like me for me to become God. Because if he's beyond, I can never become God. So then what's the point of my philosophy? Right? You know, it has to be attainable.
Maharaj, if you understand that point, even if externally the situation is not good, we can maybe suffer, but with that understanding, we can still be connected to Krishna and feel and experience some happiness.
Yes.
Even if externally the body or situation
yes.
is...
Yes, that's the karma yoga and jnana yoga, is that you're taking your conditioning in jnana yoga and connecting it to Krishna.
Yes.
And so that's what makes it perfect, because that's what they're doing in the spiritual world. It's all connected to Krishna, but they're connecting Krishna with love.
Yes.
So sadhakas, we can connect it to Krishna, we don't have the love. But we're aspiring to gain that by that association. That's why it says you follow in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan. Right? So the residents of Vrindavan, they're fully surrendered to Krishna. That's pure unalloyed devotion. So we attempt to follow that. Right? And of that, then the surrender of the gopis is the best, is the greatest. So we want to be surrendered like that. Because you see, all others like that. Uddhava wanted to be surrendered like that. Bhishma Dev wanted to be surrendered like that. You know, anybody who comes in contact, the personified Vedas want to be surrendered like that. Because it's the best surrender. So if you're a devotee, they see they're the best. You know, even Lakshmi wants to be like that. So that's why then we follow in the footsteps of them. And so it's about, that's why then it's given. You know, it's conscious of Krishna, favorable for Krishna, free from karma and jnana. That's pure devotional service. So that's then our padati, our that's our formula that we use. And that's what we want to gain. Does that make sense? Whew. So no transformations. Because their whole point is he becomes transformed, so therefore. But he's beyond. So he's eternity, complete. He is the form of happiness, Ananda. You know? And then again, eternity. Then he has knowledge and bliss. Okay, then he's Akshara, without decay. Because he's eternal. And he's Amrita. So basically most points become established because he's eternal. He's Sat, and because he's Ananda. And then Chit is there because he's knowledge. So all these things are situational. So that's why they don't understand Sat. That's why we say there's an interest in Brahman, but the amount of knowledge they have is very small. You know, it's maybe greater than others have. And the very, you know, logical and scholastic, but actually understanding the Lord, they don't have as much as a new bhakta. New bhakta knows more about spiritual life than they do. You know, real spiritual life. Yeah. Okay. Therefore, even though he is the creator of the material world, the Lord is not affected by material passions. In the Shveta Sutara Upanishad 6:19, it is said, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is perfect and complete. He is peaceful and flawless. He is never affected by the material energy. His actions are never material. Right? So these verses are here, but they don't see. He's perfect and complete, so therefore there's no growth. He is peaceful, so there's no, he's unaffected by everything. So his existence there, he's flawless. There's no flaws, there's no material qualities. So he is never affected by the material energies. His actions are never material. Right? Because material means separate from the Lord. How would the Lord do something that's separate from himself? We do that because we think we're the body. And so we don't do things actually for ourselves, which is the soul. So spiritual life means coming closer to actually the position of the Lord, right? The Lord, he is transcendence, and all his activities are in context of his transcendental position. So when the soul understands their transcendental and then performs activities in connection with the supreme transcendental, then it becomes perfect. So that's the problem, is they're connecting their conditioning to the Lord when they should be connecting the transcendental position. Right, because we as living entities, Satchitananda, can connect to the supreme Satchitananda. But our conditioning, which is full of all the, you know, the six transformations and all these things, that you can't connect to the Lord. So they are acting in conditioned state because they're connecting their conditioning to the Lord, not the soul to the Lord. Right? And even they're looking at the Lord and the soul, they're still looking at it from the conditioned state. So even they're you know, spiritual, they're still looking at it from the material platform. In Srimad Bhagavatam 10.9.13-16, it is said, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has no beginning and no end, no exterior and no interior, no front and no rear. In other words, he is all-pervading. Because he is not under the influence of the element of time, for him there is no difference between past, present, and future. He exists in his own transcendental form at all times, being absolute beyond reality. Right? Beyond reality. So that's the things when we talk about, remember in the drama, you have like the peoples, then it's called reality, real presentation. But when you're naked about all these things that are beyond that, you know, then that's the theatrical presentation. You know, the conventional. So in other words, Krishna, that's the standard. Then, when you're working within the modes of nature and then within the material, that's reality. So you say, oh, that's not real. He says, no, who said Krishna's not real? He's beyond reality. He's the source of it, but he's unaffected by it. We're affected by it. So we see is that there's a lot of things due to ignorance that get reversed. We think reality is the solid thing, and oh, that's beyond, you know, and that's so it doesn't mean anything. No. That's the real thing. It's beyond reality. So reality is this illusion that what we see we think is real. That's why it's called reality. We think the material energy is real. You know, this form is going to eternal. That pillar over there will be here eternally, and I'm going to enjoy eternally, and I'm going to live eternally. No, that's all illusion. So this aspect of reality, that's the illusion. Krishna's beyond reality. It's eternal. You know, because we say, we're going to do this, that. Oh, Prabhu, you got to get real here. You know, that's not going to happen like that. Right? Because we're talking about the material world. Nothing works out nice. So reality is not nice. Krishna's beyond reality. You know, so we have certain words and phrases, like we say truth. Truth just means facts, but truth means Krishna. Tattva is truth. But we just take facts. It's all situational. Reality, it's situational. So everything is situational. Right? And then, according to our mentality of the 8,400,000, you know, then we deal with that so-called reality, that situation, according to our nature. Not according to Krishna's nature, what's pleasing to him. So in other words, all 8,400,000 do whatever they like with Krishna, the situation of the material creation. Only devotees then use it in Krishna's service. What is Krishna's nature? So Maya has covered us so that we think right is wrong and wrong is right. And then within the wrong that we say is right, then we have you know, good and evil.
Yes.
I can control this material energy, that's right. That I'm supposed to give all that up for the Supreme, that's wrong. Right? So I've reversed it. And then, within this, that I can get, that's right. That someone else will take that away from me, or my right to enjoy that, that's wrong. Or that we can all enjoy this together, that's right. But, you know, some individual is enjoying and we're not enjoying, that's wrong. You know, like this, we establish our pranamoyic, rules and regulations for our society. So it's just like, let us say, you know, now it'll be, no, everybody should enjoy, right? Like that. But when they say everybody, they just mean those who are like-minded to them. Those who are not like-minded, then they couldn't care less what happens to them. You know, and others are more obvious about it. You know, our family, you know, or our community will enjoy and will exploit everybody else. You know, it's just like, at least in the cliches, you have the Norsemen, the Vikings, You know, they live in their villages up on a rock somewhere, not a whole lot growing on that rock, you know. So then they come down to, you know, these other places, you know, especially they very much appreciated France, like that. And they would come in and pillage and burn and steal everything and go back to their place. And then when that all runs out, they come back again, like that. So for them, amongst themselves, that's right. What would be wrong is now we as a group went out on the ship, we all worked and all that, so we should nicely share it. But, you know, overall of that was the captain. He's organizing, he's telling what to do, he makes the plan. Therefore, he should get a little bit more. Right? You know, and everybody agrees because there's the idea I could be the captain. When I become the captain, I want more. You know, so that's why they think when they came up with a plan and the captain agreed with it, so no, we don't need the captain. I made the plan. You know, so like that. We have our own concept of what is right and wrong. Within wrong. You know? Just like, you know, thieves. It's wrong. They're criminals. But then there's honor among thieves. You know? They work it out before the activity. Who gets how much? Okay, we're going to do this job. How much is that worth? Okay, that's worth 10 million. Okay, so there, you know, so then there's, you know, this many of us, we each get this much. You know, and in this also, there's going to be this much expense, so we have to pay that back. So in that way, we, you know, with adjusted, we all get like this. You know, and if you can pull it off, it's my plan, I get a little more. But if he's smart, he doesn't necessarily do that. Because then they get jealous. Because they're already bad people. So bad qualities are very natural to them. Does that make sense? So they have their own ideas. So that's what goes on in the material world. We take our own attachments, our own things, our own needs, project that on God and say that he's like us. So he's nothing special or doesn't need to exist because I'm doing everything that's going on. I don't see. The illusion is there. But devotees take it, I am servant of Krishna. And therefore, now all this energy is all Krishna's. I use all this in Krishna's service. Totally different from all karmis, all jnanis, all yogis. That's why bhaktas are in their own category. Because everyone else is just different features of the same materialism. You know, a little bit more mental, a little more intellectual, a little bit more sensual. That's all.
Maharaj, this question of Krishna beyond reality. You know, I see that in the scientific world they speak about reality. Mm-hmm. Also in the, we can say, in the normal world, religion, it's always a topic. What is real, what is false? You know? Mm-hmm. So actually, it's a big step to accept Krishna is beyond reality.
Yeah, he has to be. Means we're dealing with energy, right?
Yes.
And we're dealing with the transformed energy.
Yes.
Then there's the original form of the energy. And then there's him as the source of that. So not only is he beyond the material, he's beyond the spiritual.
Yes.
He's the source of spiritual and material. So he's in his own category. And everything's connected to him. So that's the point. Everything goes back to him. He is the enjoyer. He's never the enjoyed. Because we're trying to enjoy his energy, and the energy is non-different from him, so we're trying to enjoy him. That's why it's a problem. But the devotees, all the energy is used in Krishna's service, so they're never the enjoyer. Krishna's always the enjoyer. Something else. So it's a different way of seeing. It's seeing beyond illusion. You know, so we can also use the term reality in the conventional sense. So then the material world's unreal and the spiritual world's real. But the point is, what we're saying when we say he's beyond reality is because that's how the people are perceiving things through their own mind, their own logic, their own senses, and they take that as real. Like the scientists, it's all about reality. But it has to be, they can see it,
yes.
Or they can calculate it in math.
Yes.
Because they can't describe it in language, that's for sure. But that's, you know. They didn't go to, they didn't do their undergraduate in language. You know, so they have their own language, and then they ascribe to all these mathematical things what it means. So, you know, they create, you know, all these different letters and, you know, the whole different things. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. So, but he's beyond that, because he's the source of that. They're looking for the source. So what's the problem that the source can be beyond? Anything that creates something is beyond. But they're going to say, no, it's just that. It's just this infinitesimal small spot that all the matter of the universe was squeezed into. But the point is how did it get squeezed into that thing? How did it come from there? How does that mathematically make sense? That all energy is one in one infinitesimal spot. And if it is, then, you know, the point is if it's unstable, that means it's naturally to be out. How did it get into that spot? So what put it in that spot? Even if you say there's a Big Bang, what put it in the spot? That infinitesimal point. Because they don't say there was this massive, huge spot where everything was all there together, and then somehow or another it blew up. Because why would it blow up? Like, why would the Earth blow up? No, but if we take it and put it under such pressures to make it infinitesimally small, you know, and like that, and so you're pressing the molecules and the atoms so small that they're all squashed together, so they want to expand out. That means there's a natural state for them. And that state was already there before it blew up. Otherwise, why would it blow up? Things don't blow up if they're stable. So why would it be unstable? And how can it be unstable unless something put it into that unstable? Okay, because things by nature sit in their stable environment.
Yes.
So it doesn't make any sense at all. And then they're saying, no, no, we only talk reality. We only talk mathematics. You can't prove this. How do you get all that mass into there? Unlimited into infinitesimal. It doesn't make any sense. And then, you know, that by chance it all turned into this, and now you're sitting in your desk at, you know, Harvard. You know, why do you have a desk? You know, if it's all by chance, you should walk in one day and your desk is turned into a, you know, a turtle or something. You know, and that is a problem, because then, you know, you hear yelling and screaming as you're walking down the hall because it's turned into a snapping turtle, and so your secretary's been half eaten by the turtle, you know. It just doesn't make any sense. So nothing makes sense, but they're claiming that, oh, we're the scientists, we're the realists, that we're not sentimental. They're totally subjectively sentimental. They want this to be true. So it's superstitious. They're the biggest superstitious people around. You know, people that believe in God, that's at least obvious that there's something controlling all this. But they want to say, no, 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 it's got to be me. That's superstitious. That's subjective. Just because you see it with your senses doesn't mean that it's real. You know, say, bring 10 people to one situation, have an activity performed in that situation. Then afterwards, talk to each one individually, the 10, you'll see that they saw 10 different things. There's some common points, but it's 10 different things. So then now you're going to say that perception is reality? So then which one? Who's scientist? He saw it this way, another scientist that way. So it's just a matter of proving what I saw is right, what you saw is wrong. But if he saw it, it must be real. So why can't there be all these, why can't they all be there? All these theories are all happening at once. So we have 10, you know, theories all going at once. So how does that all connect together? You know, what's pulling together that they all have different mentalities and different perspectives? Where did that come from? What's controlling that? They don't look for that. And because they say God doesn't exist and, you know, God's nothing, so then they become nothing. Right? You know, they can't interact with other people. You know, they just you know, like that. So it becomes a problem. So we project our own. So that's projecting anamoy. Others project pranamoy. Others project manamoy. Others project vijnanamoy. You know, You know, so these intellectual scientists, they have brains like the Vijnanamoy, and they work with knowledge, but they unfortunately apply it simply to the senses. So by consciousness, they're on the platform of Anamoya, because it's like animals. The animals go up and smell it. These guys look in a microscope. You know, what's the difference? Fancier animal. Cyborg animal. Right? Okay. In Srimad Bhagavatam, 10.9.13-16. Oh no, we got part of that. He exists in his own transcendental form at all times, being absolute beyond reality. He is free from distinctions between cause and effect, although he is the cause and effect of everything. He is beyond cause and effect because he is the cause of everything, but he is also the effect of all those causes. That unmanifested person, who is beyond the perception of the senses, has now appeared as a human child, and Mother Yashoda, considering him her own ordinary child, bound him to the wooden mortar with a rope. When Mother Yashoda was trying to bind the offending child, she saw that the binding rope was short by a distance the width of two fingers. Thus she brought another rope to join to it. The new rope also was short by a measurement of two fingers. And when another rope was joined to it, it was still two fingers too short. As many ropes as she joined, all of them failed. Their shortness could not be overcome. Right? So he's beyond all this. You know, you control all this and that. He's beyond. So you can tie as many ropes as you like. He's unlimited. Mm-hmm. At the same time, as he's of that medium-sized form. So that's the thing. Brahman, Parabhava, Bhagavan, they're non-different. But the origin is his form, his Sarup. So the Sarup is there, but it's also unlimited. So that's the point, is that... No, but this is not logical. But the point is God is inconceivable. So why do you want to say that, oh no, if it's not logical, then it can't be God? Because the point is, God's inconceivable. God's beyond. I mean, we see everything here, we're studying everything here with all our intelligence, we can't see, so that means he's beyond. In the next sutra, the author reveals that the Supreme Lord does not increase when he creates the universe. Neither does he become less when he destroys the universe. Sutra 9. Because he is perfect and complete, his nature is always unchanged. Footnote 12. In relation to this sutra, Srila Jiva Goswami states in the Anucheda 61 the following. I would say relevant to the sutra. Because he hasn't really written it in, you know, we may be saying. The cause of his being perfect is described. You are unlimited and without a second, ananta advayaha. You are beyond limitations of space and time. You cannot be limited by another object, since everything else arises from your shakti. Right? Because everything else other than him is coming by your shakti. So then how can he be controlled by it? It's arising from him. Right? Your shakti... everything else arises from your shakti, and without that shakti, nothing else exists. So anything that creates, that's all from the transformation of the shakti. There, the spiritual world, everything. So there's only him. But he expands everything. Because he's conscious, then everything else is conscious. Therefore, we, even though we're expanded from him, non-different from him, we're individually conscious, because he is an individualist conscious. But it still doesn't mean we're not part and parcel of him. Commentary by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. In the Isha Upanishad, it is said, the personality of Godhead is perfect and complete. Here someone may ask, if the Supreme Personality of Godhead is perfect and complete, then what motivates him to create the material world? He's perfect and complete with himself. So what's the need of creating anything? In the next sutra, the author answers this question. Sutra 10. Compassion is the motive of his actions. He has no other motive, for his every desire is at once fulfilled without any effort on his part. footnote 13. In Anucheda 87, Srila Jiva Goswami cites the following verse in regards to this sutra. The Lord is described as the form of unlimited Purushas. Yeah, no, I'm just thinking. Maybe just put Srila Jiva Goswami, Bhagavat Sandarbha, Anucheda 87. Just put that. Leave out all this in relation to like that. And then it's just put Udriti. And then put that, and then Haribo. The Lord is described as the form of unlimited Purusharthas. We see that you do not have any use for our elaborate worship, O Lord. You, who directly have a form composed of unlimited human goals, the highest bliss, the form which continues without break at all times, should satisfy us, who have desires for benedictions. Srimad Bhagavatam 5, 3, 7 through 8. Right? So it's out of his compassion. Right? Mm. Commentary by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura. Compassion is the motive of the Supreme Lord's actions. He has no other motive. For his every desire is at once fulfilled.
There's Prabhupada's comment on that.
Oh, it's still because of that gap. So that's why then you should take like the Srila Prabhupada or something and indent it.
Okay.
Then we'll know it's something, you know. So it's whenever there's a next, you can leave the gap, but indent it so that we you know, by leaving the gap, then we know it's separate. But indenting it, then we know it's part of, because I do that all the time. Srila Prabhupada elaborates in this regard as follows. I hear you say in this regards. Srila Rupa Goswami says that if one is offered various foods but has no appetite, the offering has no value. In a big sacrificial ceremony, there may be many things accumulated to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But if there's no devotion, attachment, or love for the Lord, the arrangement is useless. The Lord is complete in himself, and he does not need anything from us. However, if we offer him a little water, a flower, and a tulsi leaf, he will accept them. Bhakti, devotional service, is the main way to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is not a question of arranging huge sacrifices. The priests were regretful, thinking that they were not on the path of devotional service, and that their sacrifice was not pleasing to the Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam 5.37 purport. Yeah, so they've done this huge arrangement. What they can understand is that it's been done without bhakti.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know? So they're, what do you call it? The Shrautriya? Shrauta Brahmins. And so they're doing all these nice things. But, you know, in other words, they're, how you say, ritualistic Brahmins. Mm-hmm. But they're Shrauta Brahmins. And then, as you said, then... Shankaracharya made those not based on Shruti but on Smriti, then you have Smartas.
Yes.
Same thing, same ritualistic. So they're all ritualistic Brahmins.
Mm.
It's just a matter of what's their basis of their scripture.
Mm.
And so then they're seeing, oh, but we didn't do this with devotion, so it's a whole waste.
Yes.
Like that. So then they're smart. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So then after this is Paramatma.